They're
Vancouver,
wrong
and it's down by
assumption.
30.
We thought we were going to save $8 billion, but it turns out to be only $3 million.
Well, good evening, and welcome to SCB Water's Engineering and Operations Committee meeting for September 6th, 2023. If you would, please stand and join in the Pledge of Allegiance. You don't have.
Well,
I'm sorry. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get going with the meeting, let me make some announcements. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Summit Circle Engineering Services Section Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the committee using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public, using either the call-in or the internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. Remote participation option is being provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raised hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. Phone participants will be called on by the last two digits of their phone number or by name. When it's your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. Members of the public that are here in person, there are comment cards out on the table if you wish to speak to any of the items on the agenda. Please turn those in to Liz, if you would. The procedures for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I'll ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from committee members, and the committee will then come to a consensus to move this item to the board for consideration or not. Any PowerPoint shown at tonight's meeting will be posted on the website. All committee members are present. And with that, we will move right on to item two, public comments. No comment card, Liz, anybody out?
Seeing none.
Very good, thank you. Okay, item three, recommend approval of a resolution awarding a contract for Olympian North Oaks Water Storage Tanks 1 and 4 coating project and James Sines.
Okay. Committee Chair Cooper, members of the committee, how are you? Good evening. My name is James Sines, Water Systems Supervisor, and this is the Olympian Tank 1 and 4 coating project contract award consideration. Next slide, please. Santa Cruz Valley Water Agency has approximately 108 storage tanks with a combined storage of 165 million gallons. Water system staffs conduct general weekly inspections of these storage facilities, and complete inspections and cleanings are contracted out and done approximately every 3 to 5 years. Next slide. Epoxy coatings are designed to protect the integrity of steel tanks and are designed to last between 20 to 30 years. Next slide. Olympian, formerly known as North Oaks Tanks 1 and 4, were constructed in the year 2000. An assessment was conducted by CSI Services in 2022. Based on their inspections and recommendations, a complete interior recoat and spot repairs on the exterior are recommended for both tanks. Next slide. Olympian tanks are located at 18501 Olympian Drive in our North Oaks zone. Next slide. Here are the bid results, with the lowest responsible bid being $584,827.75 by Simpson Sandblasting and Special Coatings, just under the engineer estimate of $589,000. Next slide. This project supports our strategic plan B.1.1, implement capital projects related to infrastructure reliability, and funding for this project is recommended through the CIP storage tank improvements and replacement budget and is included in the fiscal year 23-24 budget. Next slide. I recommend that the Engineering and Operations Committee recommend that the Board of Directors award the contract for Olympian Water Storage Tanks 1 and 4 coating project to Simpson Sandblasting and Special Coatings, Inc. in the amount of $584,827.27 and add the consent to and add to the consent calendar. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Very good. Liz, any questions from outside?
Seeing none.
Very good. Questions from the committee? Vice President Orzechowski.
So I see we've adopted a new nomenclature of tanks, Olympian versus North Oaks vote. Tanks have been renamed now to reflect the streets they're on? Okay. Any other facilities are being named based on?
We're looking at some other facilities like turnouts and booster stations. I don't know that that's been finalized yet, though.
All right, excellent. Thank you. Back to you, Chair.
Questions? President Martin. Thank you, Chair Cooper. Thank you, James, for your presentation. This certainly appears to be a prudent thing to do, and I'm glad we're proceeding with this. I just have a question. Have we worked with Simpson before?
Yes, we have. Simpson has, as the last tank they did with us was Newhall Tank Number 2 in 2021, and they did the complete interior and spot exterior.
Okay, and from the map, it appears the tanks are close to a couple of houses, but not close to a predominant number. I suppose we're going to be paying attention to the sandblasting on this job a little closer than one of our past projects.
Correct. It's not as large of a concern with this as the past, simply because the work is primarily interior, as the exterior work shouldn't involve too much sandblasting. We do have it in our specs that all work can stop if there is any concern that the neighbors will be affected.
Thank you very much, James.
Very good. Director Peterson.
James, who will be doing the inspection for the agency?
The company for the inspection will be CSI Services.
That would be normal.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm just curious, 20 years of use out of that coating, is that, in your opinion, good, bad? What do you think?
Well, based on the recommendations, it's between 20 and 30 years. We do have some tanks that might go a little more than 20. It's based off of our inspections that are done by CSI. And they will recommend. They set up a priority list and recommend based on their internal inspections inside the tanks.
Just a technical question that's always been kind of bothersome on steel tanks is the rafters. How do which is kind of interesting how to deal with them. Are those rafters? Welded onto the raft. I mean, I'm pardon. Those plates, roof plates, welded onto the rafters. You know.
I believe this one. There are some welded on joints, and also some bolted joints that will be replaced, and the bolted joints will be replaced, and the other joints have been inspected, and as far as what's recommended is as needed as what was determined during that inspection. But they have pointed out certain areas that may need a little more attention than others.
Thank you, James.
Hey, any other questions? Seeing none. James, thank you very much, and enjoyed your presentation. Is it all right with the committee? We'll move this on to the consent calendar.
Yes.
Yes. Very simple. Yes.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you. Item four, this is to recommend approval of adopting a resolution authorizing the GM to execute a purchase order amendment for construction management services for Saugus 3 and 4 wells. And tonight, Mr. Robert Van Lois. You there, Robert?
Rob on earlier, but it looks like
he's up. Yes, I'm here.
There we go. Good evening.
Good evening. Unfortunately, it says cannot start your video because the host has disabled it.
Let me see if I can let you start your video. Is it giving you video access, Rob?
No, it says host has disabled it. There we go. I think it's working now.
There you are.
Can you see my face?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. My presentation is on requesting additional funding for construction management services for the Saugus number 3 and number 4 wells construction replacement wells project. Next slide, please. Project location. We see here are the two well locations for Saugus number 3 and Saugus number 4. They're shown in blue dots. To the south, we have Magic Mountain Parkway. To the east, we have the 5 Freeway. To the north, we have the Santa Clara River. Next slide, please. Project description. The project consists of drilling and constructing two wells with a capacity of 2,000 gallons per minute to drill depths ranging between 2,000 and 3,000 feet below ground surface. Next slide, please. Completed activities. We have awarded the construction contract that did happen on April 5th, 2022. It was awarded to Zim Industries Incorporated in Fresno, California. And it was for approximately $12.7 million. We have been working on Saugus well number 3. We have completed the pilot hole. We have completed 14 isolated aquifer zone testings. And we are in the process of finalizing the well casing installation. Next slide, please. Completed activities continued. So on the left-hand side, we do have a picture of the well drilling rig. And to the right, you see the sound walls that we put up to mitigate any noise coming from the well drilling operation. On the right-hand side, you have a picture of the crew and trying to install the drilling columns for the pilot hole. Next slide, please. On the left-hand side, you have a picture of the mud tanks where the mud is recirculated. And on the right-hand side, you have a picture of the drill cutting samples, which are bagged and tagged. Next slide, please. On the left-hand side, we have the pilot hole, which was equipped to do perform the isolated aquifer zone testings. And on the right-hand side, we have a sophisticated way to perform the water sampling, where the bottles are tagged, and we collect the samples with plastic water bottles. Next slide, please. On the left-hand side, we do have a picture of the stainless steel casing on the ground, ready to be installed. And on the right-hand side, we have a picture of the well casing installed, and we have this individual welding a few components together. Next slide, please. Project timeline. So as the PM, I wanted to put together a project timeline to showcase how everything has proceeded. So the contractor notice to proceed was issued on April 29th, 2022. The original contract duration was 400 calendar days. And the estimated contract completion date was June 3rd, 2023. The LA County well permit we did submit on May 9th, 2022. And it was approved on August 2nd, 2022. And we did have an 86 calendar day delay. Well, number three, zone four and five, retesting. At the recommendation of the contractor, on the first pass, we did not achieve sampling zone four and five. So at his recommendation, we went back down and we retested those zones. And so that did introduce a 20 calendar day delay. Next slide, please. Well number three, zone test result and final well design. The final well design cannot be finalized until all the zone testing results were issued. This resulted in a 50 calendar day delay. Project time extension. The contractor did receive a 215 calendar day non-compensatory time extension. We just extended the contract and we did not pay the contractor for this extension. This resulted in a new contract completion date of January 4th, 2024. The estimated project completion based on the contractor's current project schedule is now April 4th, 2024. This basically means that the project completion date is 89 calendar days beyond the current project completion date and 304 calendar days beyond the original project completion date. Next slide, please. Project delays. So this was touched on in the previous slides, but I thought I would put a recap of those delays. The first one being permitting, 86 calendar days. Was Black & Veatch compensated? Yes. We did still hold meetings and coordination efforts for the project. Retesting zones, 20 calendar days. Yes, we still held meetings and we did have some inspection efforts for that additional work. And lab results, 50 calendar days. Yes, we still had meetings to make sure that the project kept moving along. The well drilling operation is 24 hours, 7 days a week. The way it's been working out is that we do have agency inspection staff covering the day shift. And we use Black & Veatch to cover the 12-hour night shift. And this also includes weekends. As a reminder, Black & Veatch's services are performed on a time and materials basis. And Black & Veatch does step in when agency staff is unavailable. For example, maybe we have a holiday or holidays, so we might need holiday coverage. We may be short-staffed, or agency staff is working on other time-sensitive construction jobs. Next slide, please. Financial considerations. The original PO amount for Black & Veatch for construction management services was $914,000. And we're currently requesting an additional $985,000. And this is being requested due to unforeseen delays. We do anticipate completing the project with the increase. And this falls under Strategic Plan Objective B.1.1. Implement capital projects related to infrastructure reliability. Next slide, please. Completion dates. For the well drilling and wells construction, we are estimating a completion date of April 2024. This was previously June 3rd, 2023. Next slide, please. Project recommendation. So before I actually move forward to the recommendation, I do have a few key points that I would like to touch on that was not covered in this presentation. The first one being that during the well drilling process, we did hit hard formation, and that did slow down the well drilling operation. Unfortunately, it's unknown at the moment what that delay was, but it did slow us down. We also experienced rain delays. One example is we had the site turn really muddy, and we were having issues with deliveries to the site. And so we had to essentially wait until the site dried up to get those deliveries to the site. The next key point is that after completing well number 3, which we're pretty much wrapping up right now, we did create an as-built schedule to better understand what the duration will be for the next well, Saugus number 4. Next key point is we've been trying to use in-house inspection to offset any consultant costs that we experience throughout the project. The next key point is that we essentially underestimated the contract duration to complete the project. So that's one of the reasons why we also need additional funds. Also, if you take a look at the grand scheme of things, the total PO amount for CM services that we're essentially requesting, so that if you add the original PO amount and add it to the additional money that we're requesting, the $1.9 million approximately, that essentially totals to about 15% of the total cost of the project. That's typically a good starting point for CM services, especially for this type of project. And lastly, if appropriate, I would like to add this item to the consent calendar. That concludes my presentation.
Very good. Thank you, Rob. Liz?
Let's see the question. I don't see any online. Ms. Notmeyer?
Yes, I'm looking at the numbers here, and they're not to exceed 914,000, and an additional 985,000 is being reported at this time. But that seems to be quite a jump there, and I haven't gotten through reading everything, but I really question something changing that much. But doubling it. What are they, if you can tell me, if you've read it all the way through, which I haven't been able to do yet, why would you double the amount you're paying? That doesn't seem very realistic to be coming forth. And yes, there's a very good reason that you've read in here that I don't know about. I wouldn't think that this should be approved. And if you can explain to me why, on a justification, if you're going to vote for this, as to why you would double. You add an additional $985,000 to the contract that was $914,000 to begin with. There seems to me there has to be some very concrete reason. As a ratepayer of this association, I certainly feel we deserve a question answer as to why you would double something like this without any elaborate explanation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Moldner. Questions from the committee. I think the presentation outlined why the additional costs were in this. It's a 10-month delay that came from several different events that happened, and one of those events being 34 inches of rain last winter that I'm sure shut that site down for some time. So with that, questions from the committee. President Martin.
Thank you, Chair Cooper. Rob, thank you for the presentation. I'm just curious, ZIM did not submit a change request for this time delay? Or I'm just curious where ZIM stands in this whole issue.
No, we have not paid them for any delays.
I understand why a CM contractor would expect additional compensation if their schedule extended beyond something for something beyond their control, which this sounds like it was. But was weather the only factor? How is it that we didn't complete the zone testing on schedule?
That's a good question. It was a variety of delays and they did compound, but I think the biggest reason is because our team essentially underestimated the amount of work and how long it would take. And so I think this should have been the original amount that should have been awarded to Black & Veatch early on.
The reason that ZIM Industries was not requesting a change order, just a delay day, is they didn't underestimate the amount of work it was going to take, and it was within their bid. So we underestimated the amount of contract time we would need based on utilizing our original consultant's estimate on contract time. That's how we came up with, obviously, we're going to ZIM Industries and we're going to our consultant contractor for CM services at the same time. So there was an underestimation on the amount of contract days and that this is the result is needing additional time. We had some other delays on there as well, but probably the biggest one is just an underestimation of the required CM services time. But we do not have additional claims from ZIM Industries for that time. Their bid was still accurate and correct.
So was the contract schedule, project schedule in our bid documents, or was this something we requested from the bidder to give us their schedule?
The bidders gave us the schedule. We had it originally in there, but the ZIM Industries came back with a different amount.
And then they couldn't meet their own schedule.
Because of the other delays and multi factors that we had, delays in getting some permitting, weather delays, other zone testing or retesting that we detailed in the presentation.
So the various delays were not attributable to ZIM's actual work. So therefore, they're not being held responsible in an LD situation.
Correct.
Okay, Vice President Ordovsky.
So the agency inspection staff covers day shift. BV covers the night shift, including weekends. Have we explored a possibility of overtime for our own inspection staff?
Yes, we have actually. So we have used some of our inspection staff for overtime purposes, and we will continue to do so if they are available.
The Black & Veatch contract that we're proposing is a time and material basis, and we will do our best to limit that amount of cost and be under the cost that we present by utilizing internal staff when possible. Also, as you know, we are hiring another inspector, which will give us a little more freedom to do that once we get that inspector on board. But in the meantime, we have quite a busy workload with the development projects in the area. So it's often hard to shift between day work and night work. And although we can authorize some additional overtime, it is challenging to have somebody switch an entirely night shift.
Okay, understood. Thank you, Chair.
Director Peterson.
since this drilling exercise lasted over a two-year process, is that right? 2 years since it's been started, 22, 24. Are they still drilling right now?
No, they've actually completed the drilling on Sagas well number three. They're about to do the high rate pump testing. However, they are going to start moving the well drilling rig over to Sagas well number four site. And that also includes the sound wall.
Oh, and then it's kind of a follow-up question. Has when the drill rig was started, was it continuously or did they have any shutdowns?
They did have a few shutdowns, mainly over the holidays. Had it due to apparently Zim was required to give their staff time off. So that essentially involves stopping the rig.
Yeah.
And also pulling out the drill columns.
Yeah. Always a delay for that. last question is Black and Beach personnel that are out there, are they hydrogeologists or geologists backgrounds?
No. So we also have Richard Slate on board. We did award a separate contract to them. That way we can utilize their experience.
So they're not on a, well, they're on a time and material basis too, correct?
That is correct.
Hey, any other questions? Moving this on to the board, this is a little bigger dollar item. We can try moving this on to the consent calendar. And
I would actually suggest we not put it on consent. I think an explanation to the full board is warranted. I think we can flesh out this presentation a little bit more to include the items that Robert included at the end of his presentation back into the presentation so it's a little more clear moving forward. And I think it merits the explanation.
Okay. You know, some more photos of the well site, the work that's going on there. There's some people that are not familiar with those activities and it might be good to help show some of that.
Robert, I think we do have some photos of the amount of mud that we're talking about when it was raining, the fact that we could not get trucks in there to continue the well drilling because they couldn't get the pipes to the actual well site because the trucks would sink into the mud. Not to mention that the workers were not exactly able to get their vehicles there either. So I think we can show some of those as some of the delays and then just some clarifying slides as well for what the additional items we talked about at the end of the presentation.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful. So we haven't done any testing to find out what the output of three would be at this point. Because these two well sites were given to us by Five Points and they have to be good or they have to give us other alternate sites, which we'd have to have new wells drilled.
We're starting that process here very shortly. I think in the next 2 weeks, we're doing the high flow testing.
Good luck.
Yeah. Can I ask one more question? Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, how much of this delay is justified by weather, would be considered weather delays versus the total duration that you say, quite honestly, we underestimated the duration of the project. Weather delays are not part of that sort of thing. Nobody can forecast weather.
No, we underestimated the duration of the actual drilling that would be required, how long it would take to get to that depth.
Okay, then if that's the case.
Weather delays are in addition to that, but we were continuing to use.
I'm just curious. Richard Slade is a very experienced well driller.
Yeah.
He bought into the estimate of the time for this also?
He doesn't do that.
Richard Slade is actually the one who recommended the 400 calendar days based on their experience. Unfortunately, those 400 calendar days were off.
But Zim agreed to it.
That's correct. It was in the contract documents.
All right, let's clean up the presentation and maybe bring some of this out.
I think one of the things that Rob pointed out there is that 15% for construction management is not excessive. That's in the normal range. It's just that we didn't look at the project the same way Zim did.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, so we'll move that on to the board presentation at the board.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Hey, item five, this is to adopt a resolution of purchase order to Kennedy Jenks for planning services for the North Oaks Central East and Sierra Wells Groundwater Treatment Improvement Project and the findings for CEQA. And tonight, we have Ms. Lee.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Chairman Cooper and member of the committee. My name is Wainan Lee, and I'm the engineer and project manager for the planning services for the North Oaks Central, East, and Sierra Well Groundwater Treatment Improvement Project. Next slide, please. So the North Oaks Central, East, and Sierra Well is located in the eastern portion of the SPV water service area, as shown on this map. And the North Oaks Central, East, and West Well are located along the north bank of the Santa Clara River and west of the Sierra Highway. And the Sierra Well is located off the Sierra Highway. You can see on this map also. Next slide, please. So this slide shows the recent photo of the well. And North Oaks Central is on the left side, as was drilled in 1965, was permitted with the capacity of 1,200 gallon per minute, GPM. North Oaks East is in the center of this slide, was drilled in 1940, and it was permitted capacity of 950 gallon per minute.
And I gotta go, emergency.
And both wells have been shut down since March of 2020. Sierra Well was drilled in 1973, was permitted capacity of 1,000 GPM, a gallon per minute, and this well had been shut down since May of 2023 this year. Well was shut down due to exceeding level of PFAS. Next slide, please. So in order to return the well into operation, groundwater treatment is needed. And the purpose of this planning services is to perform feasibility study and identify the treatment requirements and provided multiple location at the centralized treatment. So this slide showed a potential improvement for this project. SCV Water intended to combine Sierra Well with the North Oak Central and North Oak East Well by the potential new pipeline along the flood control access road. One of the potential location for the centralized treatment is near the existing North Oak West Well, and the well will be removed with this project. So that's one of the potential location. Our consultant will be proposing multiple location for the centralized treatment. Next slide, please. On May 26, 2023, staff request for proposal. Planning service for North Oak Central, East, and Sierra Well Groundwater Treatment Improvement Project for multiple on-call engineer firm Rear Planet bids. On June 28, 2023, proposal from Woodland and Current, Inc. and Kennedy Drink, Inc. were received. Based on the department standard evaluation procedures, the evaluation team was member of engineering and operation and maintenance, selected Kennedy Drink Consultant Inc. to provide planning services for this project. Next slide, please. So the planning services scope of work includes the various level of data connection and reveal their goal of developing 30% level design drawings and probable cost of construction for centralized treatment facility to remove PFAS compound. The the Cummings pipeline between Seattle and the centralized treatment will be needed to access to with this pipe planning services. Next slide, please. The proposed budget for this planning services is $230,000. A $250,000 budget was allocated in the 2023 and 24 CIP project through CIP budget for this project. This project will continue SCV Water Strategic Plan Objective D.1, achieve 100% compliance with all environmental regulation and standards, and also D.2 proactively install, operate, and maintain groundwater treatment infrastructure to avoid impact on water supply reliability. Next slide, please. This is the project schedule. This evening, we are here for the Engineering and Operation Committee meeting. We are planning to take this project to the board meeting on October 3rd, 2023. If the board approves, staff will issue the notice to proceed to the consultant. And the planning services are expected to be complete in July 2024. Next slide, please. Staff recommends the Engineering and Operation Committee recommend to the board and directors, firstly, approve adoption a resolution authorizing the general manager to execute a purchase order for planning services to Kennedy James Consultant Inc. for the amount not to exceed $230,000. And secondly, fund the approval of this proposed action is exempt from the CEQA review in the accordance of the CEQA guidelines section 15262 because this project involves feasibility or planning study for possible future action, which agency had not approved, adopt, or fund. I would like to ask the committee to add this the item on the consent calendar. That concludes my presentation.
Very good. Thank you, Wylan. Liz, anybody?
Seeing none.
Seeing none. Committee.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ms. Lee, for the presentation. Excellent. Certainly looks like we've got an excellent firm to move forward with this project. I'm curious about, were both of these firms on our on-call list? Because you said it was advertised on Planet Bids.
Yes, they are on our on-call list. So when we putting on the Planet Bid, we actually advertised to the on-call list of engineer, not just to the public. It's to the on-call engineer.
Just the on-call?
Correct.
Our purchasing policy.
Right. Okay. Good. Yeah, absolutely. I support it. And I would support it moving on to consent.
Peterson. I would support it too, but I find it interesting to put a pipeline on top of it or close to another pipeline that's sitting there, so the Sand Canyon pipeline. It sits right there in the bike lane.
The old Newhall pipeline? No.
No, that's the new one.
The one that's in the bike trail.
Yeah. I don't know how deep that thing is, but it's pretty deep, actually. But every time I look at those aerials of that area, I always think about where that pipeline is, where the embankments are for what they have put in. Well, actually, we put in actually those embankments when we put the pipeline in. So it'd be good to study and see if we can do that, put another pipeline in there.
Good. And so this is just tying the three wells together, one pipeline, so that you can get into one area to do PFAS treatment.
Right.
And this is just the planning for that.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes. We'll move this onto the board and we'll put it on a consent calendar. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wylan. Item six, recommend approval adopting a resolution of purchase order to Woodward Current for planning services for the Lost Canyon, Sand Canyon, and Mitchell 5B Groundwater Treatment Improvements Project, and the CEQA exemption that goes with that. And with that, Mark Armentato.
Good evening, Chairman Cooper and members of the committee. How are you doing?
Good evening.
Yeah, my name is Marco Montado, and I am an engineer and project manager for the planning services for the Lost Canyon, Sand Canyon, and Mitchell 5B groundwater treatment improvements project. The purpose of this presentation this evening will be to recommend approval of, one, adopting a resolution authorizing a purchase order to Woodard & Curran, Inc. for planning services for the Lost Canyon, Sand Canyon, and Mitchell 5B groundwater treatment improvements. And two, finding that the authorization is not a project subject to CEQA in accordance with CEQA guidelines section 15262. This evening, I will present to you. Next slide, please. Lost Canyon 2, 2A, Sand Canyon, and Mitchell 5B are wells located in the eastern portion of SCB Water Service Area. These wells are located near the southern bank of the Santa Clara River between Vista Canyon Road and Sand Canyon Road. From on your right here, from west to east, Mitchell 5B is shown just northeast of the Vista Canyon development. And Sand Canyon, Lost Canyon 2A, and Lost Canyon 2 are located directly north of the elementary school and the learning center. Next slide, please. This slide shows recent photos taken of Lost Canyon 2A, Sand Canyon, and Mitchell 5B. Lost Canyon 2A on the left was drilled in 1989 with a permitted capacity of 1,000 GPM. Sand Canyon in the center was drilled in 1973 with a permitted capacity of 1,200 GPM. And Mitchell 5B, the newest of these wells, drilled in 2001, has a permitted capacity of 1,000 GPM. Mitchell 5B, as you can tell, is on an elevated platform as it is constructed within the Santa Clara River. Lost Canyon 2, not photoed here, is the oldest of these wells. It was drilled in 1965. This well has been unequipped as it is suspected that this well suffered from a partial casing collapse. Lost Canyon 2A, Sand Canyon, and Mitchell 5B are all currently equipped. However, on June 23 of this year, Mitchell 5B was removed from operation due to exceeding the running annual average for PFOA. And similarly, on July 3 of this year, Lost Canyon 2A and Sand Canyon were also removed for the same reason. So all four of these wells account for approximately 4,000 GPM of groundwater pumping capacity. Next slide, please. In order to return these wells into operation, groundwater treatment is needed. SCB Water intends to combine the raw water flows from Lost Canyon 2, 2A, Sand Canyon, and Mitchell 5B and treat these wells using ion exchange. A potential location for centralized treatment is near the existing Sand Canyon well shown on the graphic. However, approximately 3,200 linear feet of new piping may need to be installed to connect Mitchell 5B as shown in the line in blue. Alternatively, there is an existing HDPE line located within the river that may be used to connect Mitchell 5B to the centralized treatment. This will minimize the need for, a lot of new piping. This existing HDPE line will be assessed and also. Additionally, alternative centralized treatment locations and configurations, excluding Mitchell 5B, will also be assessed. Next slide, please. On May 26 and May 30 of this year, staff issued two requests for proposals. These two are planning services for Lost Canyon and Sand Canyon groundwater treatment improvement projects and planning services for Mitchell 5B. Groundwater treatment improvements. This was advertised to multiple on-call engineering firms via Planet Bids. And on June 28th of this year, proposals from Woodard & Curran and Kennedy Jenks Consultants was received for the Lost Canyon and Sand Canyon RFP. And on July 19, these two consultants also proposed for the Mitchell 5B RFP. Due to the proximity of these wells, it was determined that the planning efforts for these wells should be combined into one project, namely the planning services for Lost Canyon, Sand Canyon, and Mitchell 5B groundwater treatment improvements. based on the department's standard evaluation procedures, the evaluation team with members from engineering and operations and maintenance, we selected Woodard and Curran to provide these planning services for the project. Next slide, please. The proposed budget for the planning services for Lost Canyon, Sand Canyon, and Mitchell 5B groundwater treatment improvements is $346,000. $400,000 was allocated in the 23-24 CIP budget for this project. And this project will continue SCV Water's strategic plan objectives, D1, achieve 100% compliance with all environmental regulations and standards, and D2, proactively install, operate, and maintain groundwater treatment infrastructure to avoid impacts on water supply reliability. Next slide, please. The planning services scope of work includes various levels of data collection and review with the goal of developing 30% plan level design drawings and probable costs of construction for centralized treatment to remove these PFAS compounds. The conveyance pipeline between Mitchell 5B and the centralized treatment will also be assessed. Additionally, with the proximity to the Santa Clara River, the consultant will need to identify jurisdictional boundaries that may influence the proposed improvements and evaluate the risks to flood and seismic events. The scope also includes additional optional tasks related to PFAS education and education outreach plan and property owner and impacted community outreach. Next slide, please. This slide shows the project schedule. This evening, we're here at the Engineering and Operations Committee meeting. We're planning to take this to the board on October 3, 2023. If the board approves, staff will issue a notice to proceed to the consultant. The planning services are expected to be completed in July of 2024. Next slide, please. So staff is recommending that the Engineering and Operations Committee recommend that the Board of Directors firstly approve adopting a resolution authorizing the General Manager to execute a purchase order for planning services to Woodard and Curran Inc. for an amount not to exceed $346,000. And secondly, I find that the approval of the proposed action is exempt from CEQA review in accordance with CEQA Guidelines Section 15.62 because the project involves feasibility or planning studies for possible future actions which the agency has not approved, adopted, or funded. And if appropriate, I'd like to request this item be considered on consent calendar for the October 3 board meeting. This concludes my presentation. And with that, I'll bring it back to you, Chairman Cooper.
Thank you, Mark. Liz,
seeing none online.
Question.
Do you have a Ms. Miltmeyer? One moment.
Yes, I have a question.
Wait a minute, you said wait.
Go ahead, Ms. Miltmeyer.
Okay, thank you. PFAS has been something I've been watching for a long time. And to see them just saying, you're going to do something like this without cleaning it up. PFAS is something you don't fool around with. And here you can't put this in the drinking water. You shouldn't be allowed to put it into the drinking water, period. But now you're talking about just like casually, it's just something else. And are you going to remove this from all the water that's going out? Are you going to remove the PFAS? If you're not, then you shouldn't be improving this. All you're doing is spreading it out some more. And that brings it right back on you. PFAS doesn't belong in the drinking water anywhere. And every time you do something like that, you're just spreading it more and more. I've been watching this for a long time. And I get where we don't drink the water. We haven't for a long, long time. And if you do this, please make sure that you drink this water yourself personally. Drink this, what you're asking other people to drink yourself all the time. I guess I'm going to have to get a bigger authority to come in and start checking out what's going on here. Because this is, in my mind, out of line. PFAS in drinking water. You clearly say in drinking water in the ponds. Now, tell me that you're going to completely remove the PFAS, and I might say you're not bad people, but otherwise, if you go ahead with just what you've been doing for a long time, I don't think that's true. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Noltermeyer. And the committee would appreciate if you would read the package before you come to the meeting. If you would see what this is about, it's to take four wells that are offline right now because of PFAS, to tie them together, to put them to a treatment plant, to take the PFAS out of that groundwater. That's what it's about.
Does it say that?
Yes, it does.
Are you going to take them out of the water?
Questions from the committee now, please.
To leave the whole.
I have none. Just thank you, Mark, for the presentation.
Yes, thank you, Mark. I have none. We can move on.
No questions. Just like the last one, and thank you, Mark. We will move this on to the consent calendar.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Mark is going to choose to go second on his presentations from now on.
Okay, item 7, Mr. Mayo, discuss and provide feedback on the out-of-agency business Paradise Ranch Mobile Estate Permit. Up above past 8. This has been a long, forever issue.
Ah, so thank you, Chairman Cooper. My name is Courtney Mayo, Chief Engineer for Santa Clarita Valley. Here to discuss Paradise Ranch Mobile Home Estates and their request to Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency to continue hauling potable water outside of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency. Next slide, please. The mobile home park was constructed approximately 50 years ago and was originally supplied potable water from their wells on site. The mobile home park has requested that Santa Clarita Valley Water enter into a out-of-service agreement to secure water for the park. This includes all required CEQA analysis and approvals and Local Area Formation Commission approval. The picture on the left shows the mobile home park in yellow and the agency boundary in red. And the picture on the right shows the agency boundary, and then you can still see the Paradise Ranch Mobile Home Park. The slightly misleading part of this is at no point are you seeing our actual water main, and that's because it's further away. Next slide, please. And can you move the photo there? Thank you. So the park consists of 96 mobile home pads, 94 of which have mobile home units on them, and amenities including a pool, clubhouse, children's playground, and basketball court. In 2002, Newhall County Water District records indicate water was purchased from a floating construction meter and water was hauled to the site. This practice has continued to the present day with service provided by SC Water as a successor to the district. The amount of water purchased and hauled has varied from month to month and year to year. SC Bay Water staff compiled purchase records from 2002 to 2023, and the average annual purchase is about 15 acre feet per year. Currently, the park hauls water from a hydrant near the end of the public water system, as shown on this map in the bottom, the right side photo in the bottom right-hand corner. The delivery point is metered. As the park is outside of SC Water's service area, a formal service agreement requires the approval of LAFCO for the County of Los Angeles. On June 15th, 2023, the park applied for LAFCO for an out-of-service agreement pursuant to Government Code 56133. On the basis that the continued use of hauled water from the agency is necessary as a result of a threat to the health and safety of the residents of the park and in the absence of such water service. Next slide, please. So what we provided today is a preliminary term sheet as attachment number 2 to this presentation, setting forth the material terms and conditions upon which the agency is willing to continue to provide hauled water service to the park, and that the mobile home park is willing to accept such service, subject to the negotiation of the final agreement by the agency and the mobile home park. This is very specifically not for the expansion of the park, and the restrictions to water service listed here will be included in the agreement. Next slide, please. The mobile home park will be charged as a multifamily residential customer, including fixed charges for the meter used at the fire hydrant. And they will also be charged an equivalent estimated property tax, which the agency will have received if they were part of the agency. They will also be responsible and pay any such changes in fees that we may adopt in the future. So they will be treated as if they were an existing customer. Next slide, please. This is the assessed tax value, approximate assessed tax value of the land that they would be charged as a surcharge in lieu of paying that tax. So they would be on an equivalent basis to anyone else within the agency. Based on their average water demand, their average water bill with fixed charges would be somewhere around the neighborhood of $1,400 a month. Next slide, please. We did receive a letter from the Water Resources Control Board, both to the agency and was also copied to LAFCO. The conclusion of the State Water Resources Control Board is listed here and concludes that due to the unique characteristics of the park, the use of hauled water will continue to be a source for the park and would need to be, or else they would not have enough water for their health and safety. Next slide, please. So what we're asking for today is for the committee to discuss and provide feedback to the provided term sheet and provide a recommendation to staff to finish the agreement and bring it before the full board for approval. And if this committee finds those terms acceptable, we'll begin working on the agreement with Paradise Ranch. Once complete, we'll bring the agreement to the full board. With that, I'll pass it back to you, Chairman Cooper.
Very good. Thank you, Courtney.
Seeing none.
Very good. Committee. President Martin.
Thank you, Chair Cooper. Thank you, Courtney. It's certainly obvious that there's really no other option for this community to get water other than from us. And my only concern is that they were going to be charged the same amount that residents in our community pay, including all the tax increments and all the surcharges will take care of that. So you already explained that, so I'm supportive of it moving forward, and I'm sure it's not going to be a consent calendar item.
Director Peterson?
Yeah. It's nice to maybe put this into a formal agreement, because it was an arrangement that was started in my time at New Home Water District. And it was a very interesting situation they're into with their wells, not doing very well, very impacted by quality too, and also with how they are treating their sewage, or this, they would call it recycled water now, that's being sprayed on the hills there. But I don't really have any further suggestions, because I think the staff here has really done a good job of putting together a good presentation of all the issues that are going on there. One question I would like to get is go back to slide number 2 of the presentation. That's the map. I'm curious, you see how that, is that a meets and bounds property for the trailer park or mobile home community, you know?
I am not positive. I actually think it's a carved out piece of separate APN, but I am not positive if it was a meets and bounds within the other boundary or not.
And which means that that boundary is very close to the agency boundary. If it's the same property owner, which I kind of think not after talking to those people in those days anyway. But I'm just curious about that. Who owns that property?
The surrounding.
Yeah, that would connect the agency to.
We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Even so, our nearest facilities are over 7 miles away.
Yeah.
So, even if they were within the agency, but we can look at that and let you know who the owners of the surrounding properties are.
Which again comes back to the future property owners, which they're all, it seems like even when I talked to Matt Stone about it a few months back, it's always being looked at being sold off that park. And so there's always these inquiries come up about water supply and those kind of issues with that park. And I'm sure that's why we got this in front of us today, is because of that possibility of selling that property again. So with that, I think the staff has done a good job putting it together and the points. Let's go for it.
Yeah, this has been an issue as long as I can remember. We did look at one point that they asked for annexation into the agency many years ago. And we said we can annex, but you know, there's no way to get water up to you. And they looked at where between Pyramid and Cascade, there's a very large, well, there's the large pipeline that comes from Pyramid down to Cascade, but there's also a big air tower, what do you want to call it, in between. And we looked at if we could have possibly gotten water from there. And they could have had it pumped over to them. It's not that far away. This is a no-brainer. I mean, if the State Water Board looks at it and says, yeah, you need to have water for them, somebody needs to provide it, let's provide it. One thing I do question is when you serve water outside the boundaries of the agency, it used to have to go to DWR. To get permission to serve water outside the boundaries. You could annex in and make a new boundary, but you can't serve water outside the boundaries as a state contractor. That's why in Sand Canyon, Santa Clarita Water has a meter out there that is a meter right on our border line, but then the services are outside the agency. But the meter was within the agency, which really wasn't proper as well. But you may have to ask DWR to get an exemption as well.
And Matt Stone has his hand raised. I'll probably can speak to that.
Hi, Matt.
Hello. We did get that on the radar with Joe Byrne to go through and. Yeah, that will probably be on its own path with DWR. I mean, it's already happening, so we need to just get some kind of acknowledgement of that. He doesn't think it's that difficult to attain given the circumstances, but that is correct. It is another piece of that puzzle to kind of get this into conformance.
Very good. Thank you. And your artwork is looking very good in the back.
But, so, yeah,
I would stay as a general manager.
I did coloring and painting classes for my nieces on over Labor Day weekend since the weather was so favorable for outdoor activities.
Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't a side job that you had there.
Well, you know, to never know, it might become one. It was a great success. They already want to come back next weekend and do it again. So
good for them. Okay,
Do we want to move this on to consent and see if it, or do you want to make a presentation?
No, this will be a presentation because what we'll be coming back to the full board with will be an actual agreement, and all we have is terms and conditions for you here. So we will present to the full board with a full agreement.
Okay.
The other thing is we'll need some CEQA language with the action item to the board. We're just trying, because it's pending with LAFCO, there's, you know, we're trying to get input from the committee, but also keep it moving along. And the other thing is, Courtney, I was thinking while we're talking, if we didn't include it in the packet at this time, let's make sure to include as an exhibit their application to LAFCO. So there's a just a couple page checklist and write up we can include so that the whole packet reflects, you know, the totality of what's going on.
Okay.
One other question.
So what LAFCO needs from us is they won't put that on their agenda until we have an agreement that we're satisfied with. So that is helpful in that it kind of incentivizes us all to kind of get things in order and then bring it through.
The tax issue. Don't they have to pay on the tax bill also the state water project tax? Did that include that $2,400?
Yeah, I think that's included in there.
Yeah, we had a breakdown if you want to look at it, but it's listed on
there. As long as it's included.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What we used was the tax overlay that's in the area where they're taking from the hydrants. So it's comparable to what everybody else in that neighborhood is paying. Because there are slight differences from neighborhood to neighborhood, not on the state, but on the 1% tax. There's slight differences based on how many other public entities are slicing up that Prop 13 pie. So we use the one that's from that. I believe we use the one that's from that part of the new all service area.
Are you going to give them their own meter? I mean,
they have a dedicated meter. They've had one for some time, and they come down and haul from it. So that's been arranged. It's moved once or twice, you know, to just address any traffic or other issues that can come up. But right now, it's in a place that seems to be working. Although the meter was apparently stolen a few months ago, and had to be replaced, but for the most part, it's been working. This is a, you know, kind of a management challenge, but I will say they're probably paying as much to truck the water. You know, if you're familiar with that terrain from where they're taking it up to Templin Highway is straight up that pass where the two sides of the I-5 are reversed, where the northbound side is on the left and the southbound side's on the right, and then they cross back over, and then you hit Templin Highway. So I don't think they're hauling up the highway. They're probably hauling up the old ridge route, but it's a climb, and I can imagine they're paying a pretty penny of their own money to haul it up. There's a picture of their truck in one of the photos in the write-up that you can see. So I've talked with the owner a little bit about there may be some room to look at on-site efficiency. The indoor efficiency, I think, has been addressed pretty well from what I understand, but it seems like the amount of water they're producing and or buying from us is considerably more than what they're selling through their meters. So I pointed that out to the owner as an opportunity to maybe cut down the number of trucks that have to come up the hill. And there may be a potential to even get them hooked up with the state board for some additional assistance. They're applying for a grant right now to refurbish their RO system on site for their well water. And it's, you know, there might be an opportunity to do an efficiency grant for them as well. But we would just mainly be kind of helping point them in the right direction, hopefully, to get that started.
Very good. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to item 8, Mr. Abercrombie, monthly operations production report.
Good. Item 8 in the packet is the report for July. So just two things briefly to point out. I mentioned last time we were striving to take as much state water project water as we could this year, given the abundance of it, and backing off the groundwater. And so we are continuing to do that. I think in August, in July, we took about 84% state water in August, which this report doesn't cover, but I have the number. It's 83%. So we're maintaining a high take of water. Looking at water levels for the month of July, they're maintaining steady, slight declines, but nothing significant. We obviously haven't seen the Hurricane Hillary impact, which maybe next month we'll see if we get some bounce back in certain levels. So that's all I have to say on that.
Any questions?
Seeing none.
Very good. Committee? Next questions?
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Capital and CIP construction status.
You have the list in your packet. Page 99.
Long list.
We are trying very hard to close a lot of these out, and I assume we will be able to remove quite a few of these before the end of this calendar year. Hopefully paring that list down and adding brand new projects to it.
Seeing none.
Me? Questions? Manning calendar. Manning?
We have that in your packet as item number 10, starting at page 101. What I will change from this meeting, or I would like to change from this meeting, is to move the Saugus 3 and 4 wells presentation to October 3rd, rather than trying to advance it to September 19th to make sure we can get the presentation clarified and cleaned up for the full board presentation. Other than that, I think we have done a pretty good job of trying to keep us at about 5 to 6 items each meeting. And we're going to try to keep that trend because I think this is a manageable amount of time and information for everyone in this committee.
And I like how you're doing the calendar where you're dropping off ones that we've already done and making it easier to figure out where we're at.
Progressively gets a little bigger.
Any questions, Liz?
Hey, good.
Seeing none.
Committee. Mr. Abercrombie, general report on treatment distributions and operations.
Tonight, I just had a real short presentation to show you on a couple of projects that the teams have worked on over the past few months. Next slide, Liz. The first things we're going to look at, a couple of slides, deal with the gastric disinfection facility, or CDF, conversion from aqueous ammonia to liquid ammonium sulfate. And the second thing we're going to look at is an upgrade to a complete rebuild, actually, of the Galbreath pressure regulating station. And so next slide, Liz. So this slide shows you some photos of the Castec disinfection facility. Starting at the top left, that's the building, the original building, the current building that the current existing disinfection facility is located within. The next slide to the right of that shows the existing or the original aqueous ammonia tank, which again is in that original building. The next slide shows where that tank was and another tank behind it that we've cleared out and making preparations to add new things and upgrade things. The last slide on the top row, again, just shows that that area where the tanks have been removed and that roll-up door is up, getting ready for a new tank to be installed. Bottom left slide is a new SCADA control panel that's been put in place. The next slide shows the new chlorine tank, which is being put in, and we upgraded the existing tank to be a double wall tank for better containment. You see some header board and things taken down. The tank was because of the double wall, was a little taller than the calculations, so it didn't quite fit. So staff had to be a little ingenious, but they got it in. And then the next slide shows that new chlorine tank and the brine tank sitting in that original building again. Last slide, bottom right of that page, shows the some new electrical switch boxes that were installed. And I would point out, if I didn't mention earlier, all this was dirt done in-house. Our electricians did all the electrical work. Our water systems crews did the actual installation and removal of all the equipment and worked with our Denora, which is the, excuse me, the company that we purchased a lot of this disinfection equipment from, worked with us to size and spec things. And so next slide, Liz. So top slide on the left, you'll just see a little bit of the roll-up door of the original building there, still sitting off to the left. Now there's a new concrete pad being poured to the right of that. The trench is for some electrical conduit running from the old building to the new building. The next two slides show the inside of the new building. And the new building is where the new liquid ammonium sulfate tank sits, as well as a couple of chemical pumps. And you'll see those in the top row, right two slides. And the bottom picture just shows the completed new building. And so off to your left is where the old building still sits. So the new building is shown there as a completed project. So staff worked on that. Basically, as like I said, it was all done by our internal staff. They did an excellent job. We went through DDW and got the new facility and all the new equipment permitted, and it's all in operation and working marvelously. Okay. Next slide, Liz. So this is the only slide I'm going to show you on the Galbraith pressure station, but the two pictures on the left were kind of like the existing facility. So you'll see there's some rust and corrosion and whatnot. We did not have a solid roof on the facility. It was a chain link kind of recessed top that kept people out, but not the elements. Staff went in and essentially rebuilt the station from the ground up, actually from the underground up, I should say. You'll see all the new equipment in there. They put a new door on the facility and a new solid top on the facility. Staff also replaced some of the underground piping going into the facility, including better isolation valves so that they could isolate the station, and also added some bypass connection points so that if the station were to fail, we have a means to bypass the station and keep the area in water. This station serves a sort of a subzone area that's too low to receive pressure from the normal service from the existing tank. And so this station operates 24/7 to drop the pressure to adequate pressure, acceptable pressures for those homes. And again, this work was all done 100% in-house by our crews.
Is this out on the east end?
This is up in the Valencia area of Castaic. So kind of the lower part of the Castaic area.
Why was it named Galbraith?
The street it was on.
Oh, because Galbraith used to have, yeah. Okay.
And that's it.
Okay. Questions, Liz?
Seeing none.
Committee?
Thank you, Chair Cooper. It's always terrific to see what our staff can do, save the agency money, save our ratepayers money, get the work done at a very high level of quality, and just very impressive what we can do. It'd be nice sometime. I know our board meetings are packed usually, but be wonderful if we could squeeze one of these in to show the rest of the board what our staff can do. This one in particular, because it has so many aspects that you would hire consultants and contractors to do that our own staff is capable of doing an excellent job on. So, and in others too, any place where we can show the rest of the board what our staff can do in terms of saving the agency from hiring consultants and contractors. Next one.
Mr. Peterson?
I'm trying to think where the Castaic system. The ducts give me the address.
I don't know the address. it's Castaic Wells 1, 2, and 7.
Oh, right.
And in 1 of them.
I don't know where it's at. Yeah, I remember it, right.
You know, a little presentation with this would be nice at the board meeting, which means you have to come to the meeting. But as well, maybe an update on the new PFAS that's being built over by the mall. Just a couple of pictures of what's going in over there. You've got the tanks are there. Just a quick update. Here's what's going on. Okay. Because those people are on finance and legislative, and they don't get to see the fun stuff.
True. Maybe we can figure out a way to do these early in the board meetings.
Yeah.
Because by the time we get to the end.
So Keith can get on. Yeah. We have to stay, so Keith has to know. Mr. Mayo, General Report on Engineering Services.
Thank you very much. I'm going to start off with a little presentation about our webpage, kind of walking you through some of the engineering features and other things we have on the webpage. I don't know how often you guys go and look out for the engineering stuff because it is under that department, but we do offer a lot of resources online. Next slide, please. So this is your starting point on our website, redesigned. I think it looks excellent. I really like the format. It's easy to navigate.
Just go to that one that says board package.
Yeah. Well, if you go up to departments and you click engineering, you'll come to the next slide. Shows the major categories we have, our 5 key areas of focus, as we show here. And then we go into detail on 4 of them currently. So if you go into the capital improvement program and click on the learn more, then you'll go to the next slide. You'll see the projects we have in design and construction. And we continue down on that slide and we have projects that are in planning. We've updated the planning list. It was to be determined because this is an older slide when I put the presentation together. It's been a few months actually. And then you have projects that are also nearing completion or have been completed. Some of these projects have their own link and their own web pages to get more information. Definitely the ones that are going into construction or in active construction typically have their own web page. A lot of these not necessarily do, but our CIP projects would. Next slide. So we do have another page that lists the current projects that we have going on, and you can get more detailed information from these individual facilities. Again, not all of them have a link, but we are trying to improve that and put more links into the construction projects. So people who want to know what we have going on can come here and look. Next slide, please. We also have our development services group slide, which is the third slide over on that original when you first come to engineering. And this is going to tell you about your capacity fees, how to get a new meter installed, how to get construction meters, plan check information, fire flow requests, and then our agency standards and CAD toolboxes for the engineers who are working with us so that all of that facilities, all of those requirements and all of the services needed to build your new subdivision or to work with our development services group or to set the meters are readily available. Next slide, please. Under our current capacity fees, we list the charts, and these are updated whenever we have a change in the fees. And you can go through the both the regional or the retail capacity fees. And then we also have plan checks and other processes in there, who to contact as you go through. Obviously, we're only showing one, and I'm kind of giving a snapshot, but you can dig a little deeper to each of those tabs. Next slide, please. For service installation, we include a little service installation process to help customers go through the process, understand what it's going to take to get it installed, and then to do the activation, what the developer has to do, our inspection, our customer service, and engineering. So we all play a role. A lot of different parts of the agency go into setting a service. So we wanted to make sure, one, a little bit to manage expectations so they know that what goes into this, but just giving a sense of information on what was going to be required to get a new meter processed. Next slide, please. We also do a link page for construction meter requests, making sure that people understand how to get either a hydrant meter or a flange construction meter, which is where you would put a T underneath a fire hydrant and put a flange meter to it so you aren't impacting the fire capability of that fire hydrant. Usually those are longer term versus the short term fire hydrant meter that you would pull water off of. But both of those give a link to the customer care and the ability to process getting a construction meter through them. Next slide, please. And then, of course, plan checks. We have some information. We are still working on this and fleshing this out. So you see some coming soon where we're going to go through a detailed developer does, we do, as far as the plan check. So again, managing expectations. We do talk about our planned four-week turnaround time. We are not always able to make that. Sometimes we are beyond that limit, but we at least we are trying to list our goal and manage expectations again for the developers coming through and knowing what we're going to need from them in order to start the plan check process and move it along smoothly. Next slide, please. Fire flow calculation is something we do on a very regular basis, and we give them a link to the county forms on fire flow. They have to start with that form, and then they mail it in to us through the email address on Fireflow listed there, and we start our process to do a hydraulic model Fireflow analysis for any fire flows that are required. This process usually takes us about 14 business days. I think we've been under 10 on most Fireflows right now, so we're keeping up with them in good fashion. Next slide. We do have a little flow chart that you can go through on the fire flow process just to help the them understand it, including a glossary of our terms. Next slide, please. And then we have links to our standard specifications. We are currently finalizing or finishing up our standard specifications for anyone to be able to review, but we also have our standard drawings, which are available. We are also have already created and have been utilizing a material list that is our approved material list where we already have full submittals and we already know the details of those submittals. So the contractors can use that as simply a checklist. So we're testing that right now and we're going through the process and we're planning on adding that materials list to this webpage as well. So when a contractor wants to split their materials, they simply click on that list, they check the boxes for the materials they're going to use, usually from their supplier, and that becomes their entirety of their submittal rather than having to copy sheets and sheets of submittals that then have to be individually reviewed. Instead, we can just go through what we already have approved. The only thing that needs full submittal from there is a deviation or requested change to our submittals. So, and then we do have some CAD toolboxes so the engineers can also come in here and get some of our templates and other information. Next slide, please. We've also included some parts in here for real property interests and easements, cell sites, and other items that we do within the engineering department. So all of that is included here. Next slide, please. So we have detailed information on what the cell site's in and how we obtain land acquisition, other items like that, including a email address if you have giving people an opportunity, if they believe they have a piece of land we may be interested in, we are always welcome to take that input from the customers who look through our webpage. We want them to be able to communicate with us as quickly as possible. Next slide, please. And that's what we have for the presentation on that. I have a few more other engineering items. I don't know if you wanted to cover any questions from that or just cover the rest of engineering and then move on.
Let's do some questions on this one if there are any questions.
Real quick one. Please. Your plan check on staff, or is this subbed out through our consultants?
It's a variety. Most of our plan review for the development group is in-house. Five Point we use almost exclusively through consultant. There's just too many that come in for that development for us to handle those in-house.
That which we do in-house is that we rotate the staff through that effort because it can become a little.
We have a series of staff that do it. Usually what we are doing is assigning staff and making them project managers. So we have an associate engineer and two engineering technicians currently working on that. And they have two senior engineers that are assisting and also reviewing those plans as they come through.
All right. Good. Thanks.
Anything? Looks good. We'll move on.
So other items, as you saw when you came in today, there is no longer a counter in this building. We took the counter out. We are looking to add some cubicles. We had approval on the last budget to hire an additional inspector, and that additional inspector hopefully will help us do some more in-house project inspection, including CIP inspection. As we discussed before, that has a significant savings. We'd like to be able to spell that out and do that, but we need to make sure we also can provide the inspection to all of the developer facilities to make sure they're meeting our standards. I think inspection is one of the most critical roles we have in this department to make sure that what is going in the ground has met all of our standards and will last for its approved useful life. The last thing I want is to have more facilities go in the ground that may not last their full useful life and has to be replaced early. That's not a good use of funds. I'd rather have, especially when paid for by the developer, the inspector to be out there to make sure we are meeting all of our standards and criteria. So very good for us to have an extra inspector. We're actually going to be adding two cubicles there that will allow us to either use an intern in that spot and or a consultant inspector when necessary. But for now, we have an additional inspector we are currently recruiting for.
Are we running short on space? Are we getting down to that? Or
yes, to some degree. I think we have the right amount of space currently, but we will be looking at a needs assessment in the future, and we'll be bringing that to the board for consideration to hire a consultant to do a full needs assessment of the agency, including facilities and space. The other thing I wanted to mention was we have a preliminary drone program we've been working on where we're learning how to fly. As a business, we are required to be licensed. Any drone pilots that work for us or fly for us are required to be licensed through the FAA. So we did some preliminary training, and I'm happy to report we have two people who have taken and passed the FAA exam. So we have two drone pilots. One is Christina Jacobs, our right-of-way agent, and the other is Shoddy Bader. So very useful. We have some high hopes for utilizing these drones to look at some of our off-site easements, definitely to look precondition on projects, and obviously project updates and materials for our various CIP projects. So a lot of hope to see more aerial footages. Hopefully we'll be able to bring some of that into these board meetings and show you some cool flyover videos of some of our sites in the future. And that's what I had for updates for today.
It's very good. That drone is very important, and especially on some of the projects you've got as historical. Years from now, somebody's going to say, well, when they dug this up, what was there? And some of that stuff can be very handy. Questions, Liz?
Seeing none.
Committee? No. Nothing? I had one question left that I forgot to ask. When we were doing the tie-in for the PFAS wells out in Sand Canyon, Mitchell, those four wells out there, the location you had for the treatment process on the map, do we own that land?
I am not sure, and that was just a preliminary assessed location, but part of that analysis is going to look at where the best location. I believe one of the things is to make sure we have full jurisdiction in any of the locations we choose or what the hurdles would be for those various sites. Mark could probably answer that better, and he's raised his hand here.
So. We do own that land, yes.
Okay. So
we do own it, you said?
Yes.
Oh, very good. Because I know the corner right there at Sand Canyon and where you turn to the school, we own that corner as well. That's right there. Got big rocks around it now, so nobody can park there. But that belongs to the agency as well.
Now, we're going to take a look at various sites and different alternatives as part of the scope of that preliminary engineering to make sure that we're picking the most efficient site and that it can size and fit all of the facilities we need for treatment.
Very good. Okay, anything else? Anybody? With that, we will adjourn. Thank you very much.
Good.